And for those of you that did not know, I will just give you a heads up on this real quick. This is indeed the Applegates last Sunday. They are moving tomorrow morning. So make sure you hug a neck, say goodbye, tell them you'll see them. They just live 8 hours away. Not a big deal. I've told him I'm believing for God to give him at least 30 acres, a blessing, because I need a friend in Missouri with land to hunt. Anyhow. But I've been thinking on things, and I guess I needed to talk to you a little bit about fear anyhow, based on the line of messages I've been preaching. Because here's the thing, so many people, they write these, they do these movies, these apocalyptic, judgmental movies of the last days. You know, we're fearing this, we're fearing that. We've got, I mean, you name it. Here's how ridiculous we're getting, folks. We're fearing flying sharks. But yet, there's what, 3 movies about Sharknadoes? 4 now? And I actually heard one person, it was a TV commentator, talking about their worst fear. They feared sharks, and they said, the worst kind for me would be the kind that can fly. And they said, now we've got movies about flying sharks. First off, where'd you get such a ridiculous fear? Sharks can't live out of the water. But anyhow, if you had a fear of sharks, that would be your worst nightmare. But a lot of people, they're fearing what's happening in the world. Okay? They're fearing anything and everything. And I've been telling you, I believe we will see things coming to pass. We're seeing things coming to pass. I do not believe we're going to see the wrath of God. Okay? I need you to understand. And this was something that when I was first saved, this was something that totally got missed in teaching about, was that there's the church leaving, and then there's the Jesus returning to earth and setting up a kingdom. After we leave, the wrath of God pours out on the earth. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that today. I want to show you some things. Some things I want to tell you, though, beforehand is so many people today are, well, we're, lost my notes. It's a sticky. Oh, I stuck it up here. So many people today are trying to say, well, you know what? We will not see anything whatsoever. And I need to tell you that is not entirely right. Because there are things Christians have done. They've done it in the name of God. This is something I had to come to grips with the other day when God's really been doing a number on me about things and what we've done in His name. Jim Jones killed all those people in the name of God. David Koresh, in the name of God. There's all kinds of goofy people who have done things in the name of God. Even up to my day in the military, we fought for 3 things. God, country, and family. Actually, ours was core, but that means our family. God never asked me to go fight for Him. I wasn't going to go on a battlefield to kill somebody because God said to. If I had to meet somebody on a battlefield, it was because they said they were going to kill my family. And I was going to say, no, you're not. But for years, we go in the name of God to kill all the communists. Why? God didn't ask us to kill commies. God did not ask us to do that. The church has paid prices over the years because of stupid things they've done. The Crusades, I think it's one of the biggest brain cramps ever created by religion. God didn't need us to go to Jerusalem You know what we were trying to do? You know what really what the whole Crusades were about? Why we thought we needed to take back Jerusalem was to reestablish Jerusalem as Israeli, the Jewish settlement again. God had a time in history, and that came about in, I believe it was 1948. That was the appointed time in history that God said Israel will become a nation. But no, man in religion said, we need to establish it back here. And so we gave man a very big black eye, or the church a big black eye. So there's going to be things. Do I think this country will face judgment because of abortion? You'd better stinking believe it. If God doesn't, then he owes every Canaanite that Israel went in and destroyed an apology. When God sent Joshua into the land of Canaan, he said, you destroy this tribe, this tribe, this tribe, this tribe. All of these tribes, first off, they worship idols. But every one of them that he had destroyed murdered their babies. They offered their children to Molech, who that demon, it's a demon god, you need to understand. Demons are very real. They offered their babies to a demon as a sacrifice. What's the demon we offer it to today? It goes by the name of convenience. Yeah, of course you're never truly expecting a child at that time. Unless you were actually intending to try. I know when we found out, well, we hadn't really been trying to have a child. And, well, not she had. I was like, I'm still enjoying being a boy. But there's so much that we look at and we say, well, this is what I want. I don't want a kid right now, so I'm going to kill it. I can't fathom that mentality. Even though I was a little apprehensive to start a family, as far as just besides adults, I can remember when she told me, it's positive. I'm pregnant. And each time, I was excited. But to think that this is going to screw up my lascivious lifestyle. Seriously, folks? And I got news for you. This is running, and this is why I will stand here and tell you today that I will never vote for anybody who will, and if their party supports abortion, I will never support them. We will stand judgment. Well, Pastor, I thought he was the best. I didn't like that person. I don't like anybody running across the boards. Let's just get that straight. I don't like any of them. I got some people in my mind that's like, that would be an awesome president. There's an awesome Secretary of State. There's people I don't like. But when it boils down to it, I've got to look at it. You're against abortion, you're for abortion. I don't care what your mouth is getting you into right now. You want to kill babies? I'll move over here so I'm not pointing at you, Miss Gloria. You want to kill babies? Forget it. And you need to understand, this comes all the way down to local levels. If the party supports it, and you say, well, I can't help the party supports it, they're going to vote with their party when it comes to bringing in abortion clinics. The Republicans that were here already screwed up once. And I don't remember how big of an uproar it got when, but I know that Planned Parenthood's no longer in Morrow County. As a matter of fact, are any of those commissioners still commissioners? Some of them are dead. Stop and think about this, folks. We say, well, we're going to escape judgment. Not if you're the one making the decisions.
You
will make, listen, the Bible, Jesus himself told us. So when Jesus says it, I don't care what your interpretation of before the crucifixion and after. If Jesus says this is what's going to happen, it's what's stinking doggone going to happen. He says you will be judged for everything you do. So if I'm going out and I'm supporting things that God says, I destroyed an entire region of people in judgment for this. Why do you think it's okay? It's not. And I'm telling you all this because I'm just setting a stage, but to understand, the United States does have some judgment coming back at them. We do. We have been deceitful. I mean, seriously. I just read, and I know this fact because I've seen it on several reputable news channels. A young man in the Navy thrown in prison for taking pictures of a submarine he was stationed on, but it was a classified area. And we have a former Secretary of Defense with 33,000 missing emails. Or, yeah, Secretary of State, not the SecDef. Classified. Running for president. Like I said, I don't like any of them. That's what they've done. But justice is not being done in this country. Was it last night those police officers were shot in California? I think it was last night. 35-year veteran and a mother of a 4-month-old. Guess who's going to, well, cop killer now, but stop and think about that for a minute. And we've got presidential candidates who are saying our police are awful people. Really? Is that what you want? I'm not telling you who to vote for. You vote for it. But I promise you this. When judgment calls, I won't be standing next to you in that line. If we vote for abortion, it's what we're going to get. We will taste of that judgment. I think some of the garbage the United States has gone through has been because of how deceitful we've been, how we've turned ourselves, one, away from God, but away from justice and what is right. Tell you how goofy this is. Jesse got hit a month ago in his truck. He was hit. The other driver sighted. My insurance agent sitting right there. The other insurance company says it's Jesse's fault. My insurance agent or company says it's their fault. We're having to just let it go. They're going to arbitrate it. When a man is sighted, that's guilt in my book. But not, we've got so many goofy laws. You see, we will stand judgment for the things we say and we do that are contrary to God. Israel, the kings, the leaders of Israel, turned their heart away from God. And they started serving idols. And many of these idols were the idols that God sent people, the Israelites, into Canaan to begin with to destroy. But first off, Israel did not stop. Israel got comfortable. They got big. They got happy. You know, just kind of like after you sit yourself down to a big old dinner and gorge yourself and you're like, oh, I don't want to do anything. That's what happened. They got in, they got comfortable, and they stopped. But then they started worshiping idols. Well, this is the God that delivered us. I mean, they had barely just gotten out of the Red Sea when that happened. And yet, when they served those idols, God said, he sent prophets for starters to tell them to repent. Repent, or judgment is coming. They did not repent. The leaders did not repent. And I'm going to tell you right now, in my opinion, it's even worse for us because we appoint our leaders. It's not a family tree thing. It's a, we voted for them. Unfortunately, in my opinion, it's the lesser of the two evils this time around. I would love to see a good Christian man or even a godly woman in there. I ain't got nothing against a woman being the president, as long as she can handle it. And by the way, I hope you, if all the women that are looking for that, pay attention to the fact that our presidents go in looking young, and they come out looking like death warmed over on the other side. I mean, they are beat up. But anyhow, God sent other countries to bring Israel into subjection. And they took them prisoner, destroyed all that they found holy and sacred, and took them as captives, took them back to Babylon. However, I need you to understand, there were godly men and women who were taken too. Nehemiah, Mordecai, Esther, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel, just to name a few. But what I'm going to point out to you is where I don't want you fearing. Each one of those people, because they took a stand, and we know for a fact four of them took a pretty big stand. You had the three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who refused to bow to an idol. You have Daniel, who refused to quit praying. Daniel was thrown into a den in a cave full of lions. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were bound with ropes and thrown into a furnace. The king was so furious, they took the bellows and they pumped that thing up until that kiln was glowing red. That's the kind of furnace it was. It was a giant kiln for their pottery. So they had bellows and they got that thing just cherry red and threw those guys in. Ropes burned off. The guys stood up and looking around. King says, hey, didn't we throw three in there? But I see four. Am I seeing something? And oh, king, you see four. He said, that fourth one, he looks like the Son of God. By the way, does that tell you who's fueling that? Who else would know what the Son of God looks like except a demon? Because they'd never seen the Son of God. But anyhow, in all that, we see God took care of those who stood. You don't have to fear. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel, they had high-end government jobs. They got good food. Daniel, they refused to eat the delicacies. We don't have to fear if we do what is right. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And all that has happened in this country, we don't have to fear it if we're doing what is right by God. The Bible says to seek God's kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be done. You'll be taken care of. Mordecai. Do you know what Mordecai's job was? He sat next to a gate. That was his appointed job. Esther. I mean, of all the slaves that Xerxes had taken in his conquest of the world, he looks out upon this. I mean, it makes Miss America and Miss Universe pale in comparison. You talk about a beauty pageant, and that's what it was. He's like, oh, yeah, right there. That one in a million girls, that's the one. And God said, yes, she is. Because I've got an appointment for her, and she needs to be right up there with you. Now, we aren't talking about her today, but God granted that woman favor. Why do we fear all this stuff? There's no reason to fear. God didn't give us that spirit. Because you got to understand, Xerxes was of such, in my opinion, was a bit of a maniac. Especially after I watched the 300. I'm like, holy moly, you look like you belong in the LA underground. You got chains and things, piercings and marks all over his grape. It's like, dude. But God granted her favor with him. So much so, the last queen, she was supposed to do a striptease, is what it was. She refused to do it. King said, you're no longer queen. Yep. And when you're no longer queen, it's not a good thing. Esther walks in uninvited, and he extends his scepter to her because God has given her favor. Why do we think God will not give us favor? If it's an appointed by God, he will give you the favor. He will give you the words, and he will give you the courage. He gave Joshua the courage. I think there's at least five times God told Joshua, be strong and of good courage. It means great courage. Courage is not the elimination of fear, but the overcoming of fear. Because I promise you, what Joshua and the Israelites were facing was not what they wanted. When the spies went in and said, these people are giants. We are like grasshoppers in their sights. He wasn't kidding. The Bible says that there were giants in that land. And they were descendants of the Nephilim. The reason God bound the angels that fell. By the way, they're still bound. So, how about we get into the actual message today? All right. That was actually part of it. 1 Thessalonians, go ahead and open your Bible. I'm going to read off of there. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Next verse, 1:9. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. I've told you, God has not appointed us to wrath. He's not going to bring the wrath. And you need to understand, the wrath of God means it's over. Minor judgments we see, we've seen throughout history, we've experienced in our own lives. Anybody understand what I'm talking there? Everything you do has a result. Paul is telling the Thessalonians, there's a wrath to come that through Jesus Christ we will be delivered from. That is the bride of Christ. As I've said earlier, folks, that part still I'm not going to try to teach you on it, the whole bridegroom deal thing, because it's still rattling my brain housing group. I, as a man, cannot understand being the bride, neither will I really try to understand being the bride. But it has nothing to do sexually, I can promise you that. That's a little weird. That ain't a little weird, that's all weird. That is just gross. So there's one example, Romans chapter 5, verse 9. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Again, Paul is now telling the Romans that through Jesus Christ, through our acceptance of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we will escape that wrath that is to come. It's not, you know what, you're going to get smacked. Listen, judgment and wrath are two entirely... God's wrath, nobody survives. That's what you need to understand. Nothing survives. Anything in that area that God brings wrath, his wrath is utterly destroyed. So now, Genesis chapter 19. See, I told you I'd get you hopping here. We'll read verses 12 through 14 first. This is the story of Lot. Then the men said to Lot, "Have you anyone else here, son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city? Take them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the outcry against him has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who had married his daughters, and said, "Get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city." But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. Right now, I think one of the sickest jokes that people think is funny is that the church is going to leave. They're making all kinds of cracks about the rapture. Folks, it's real. Next person that says Jesus is coming back next month, if you're within arm's reach, I'm slapping you. That's making it a joke. Shut your pie hole. Jesus is coming back. I don't know when. He's going to call for the church first. The marriage supper of the Lamb takes place. Boom. Jesus returns. And when Jesus returns, he's coming back with 10,000s of his saints, of his believers, of his followers. And when they come to rule and reign. Now, I know that sounds so far-fetched and all this stuff, but everything in the Bible has been, and everything has been proved. Even when they say, "Well, there's no proof of it," they're finding it now. They're finding the stuff that was written. There was no crossing. It took place in a swamp. No, it didn't. Matter of fact, the Muslims don't even want people diving there now. If they see your ship in that area, they will blow it up, because it proves Jehovah lives and not Ishmael. So out of this, what I get out of it is the greatest area we can be preaching to, and that's with love, not condemnation. People are going to understand there's a difference between condemnation and love. When we preach to our loved ones out of love, out of true love, and they see it. He went and he preached to his sons-in-laws. "Take my daughters, please, out of the city. God's going to destroy it." And they laughed. They thought he was joking. They thought it was funny. Oh yeah, this is going to happen to such a great city. The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah, folks. Here's a problem when people, and I don't claim to be the greatest Bible scholar in the world. I don't claim to be an intellectual on about anything. I always said I have a master BS. You follow that out and you figure it out. But when it comes to this, the church shut its thinking off and said it was all sexual sins. And we got that because the men of the town wanted to rape the angels. That wasn't the only outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah. Book of Jasher records that the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah was so great in the fact that it had no justice. The judges were corrupt. Everybody was corrupt, especially if you were a stranger. Ding, 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 ding. Lot knew what was going to happen. Lot had no idea who he was entertaining. I mean, stop and think about it. The guys are pushing on the door. The Bible says that they were about to break the door down. The angels opened the door. Boom! They all went blind. They couldn't find the door anymore. After that, I think I'd have shut up if I was Lot. But no, Lot keeps pushing things. We'll read about it here in a second. But our loved ones, folks, they need to understand time is short. things are going to hit the fan. And it's not going to be pretty. Because you need to understand. Well, we'll keep going. That way it'll help you understand. Okay, now verse 16. And while he lingered, this is Lot, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters. That's all he could get out of there. Folks, listen, if we're walking the fence, I'm preaching to everybody in here right now. If you're on the fence with anything about God, get off of that fence and come down on the right side of it, because his sons-in-law thought he was joking. They loved the city more than they loved what God was going to do. And the only people went with him was the two daughters he'd offered up the night before to be raped and mutilated by a city full of perverts. By the way, in my opinion, Lot was a little tainted too, to have done that. I mean, okay, I got my two daughters, or two grown men, they're strangers, but I'm going to give you my daughters to molest. I don't think so, Jack. See, first off, Lot didn't have the relationship with God that Abraham did. We'll talk about Lot here in a minute. I saw a lot of Lot's character showing up through this. He took the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. So the angels, each one of them has got their hands full with a person, and they're dragging them through the city, get them to the edge of the city, and they tell Lot, go to the mountains. And Lot says, oh, I'm going to paraphrase this. I'm a big chicken. Don't send me out there. Something might eat me. Somebody might kill me. Let me go over to that little town called Zoar. It's a little town, just an itty-bitty little town. Now, after all this took place, the Bible says that Lot left Zoar because he was afraid of the Zoars. And he went to the place where the angels had told him to go in the first place. Now, here's the whole weird, twisted thing on this. His daughters got to looking around. They thought everybody was destroyed. Said, hey, there's no more men. We need to reproduce. There's only one man. Let's get our daddy drunk. They made sure they took their wine. Let's get our daddy drunk, and each one of us go into him and have a baby with him. By the way, created two of the worst groups of people to ever walk the Middle East. Sexually perverted, judicially perverted, out of a man who later, here in a minute, well, earlier, the people of Sodom had said, you come here and you preach to us. You judge us. I guess where I wanted to get at on that saying that is, God always sends a preacher. He may have been a big chicken. May not have really known God as much as he should have, but there was one thing he did do. See, because I look at how he got there to begin with. They both had, he and Abraham had so many possessions, the land couldn't hold them. So he and Abraham went up on a mountain, and Abraham said, now mind you, this is all promised to Abraham, not to Lot. Lot tagged along on Abraham's blessing. But Abraham, being a godly man, said, here's the land. This is the dividing line. Over there is Sodom, Gomorrah, and all those regions. You need to understand, it did not look like it does today. It was green, it was lush, it was desirable to be there. That's why there were so many cities there. And Abraham said, and here's the other side. A little scrubby, not quite as nice. And Abraham said, whichever one you choose, I'm giving you the choice. I will go the other direction. Because the land cannot hold us. You know what ground Lot chose? He took the good ground. But God sent him there because he was a preacher. He did preach. Obviously, because they said, you came here and you've been doing nothing but judging us. By the way, the world, when preachers show up and they're preaching what's right, they will say you're judging. By the way, the Bible already says they're condemned. That's why they say you're judging. They already know they're condemned and judgment's coming. You can be telling Jesus loves you. Why are you judging me? Only God can judge me. Do you understand? That's why I'm here, because you are judged. That's why people didn't want to see prophets. Prophets we have today aren't the real prophets. Prophets showed up, you better get your stuff straight. Because when the prophet left town, something was coming. And it wasn't going to be good. Now, verse 22. Now I told you, God will not bring judgment or wrath upon the righteous. Here's what the angel told him. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. God did not bring the judgment he said was coming until the righteous had been taken out. Okay? The whole reason I'm teaching you this is because we're not going to experience the wrath of God. Will we be experiencing some of the judgment because of the decisions made? Yeah. But God will also take care of us, just as he did Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel, Mordecai, Esther, and however many others. Remember, even when Elijah was the prophet and Ahab and Jezebel were in cahoots with each other and ruling the kingdom, leading the kingdom further and further away. Elijah, he's up there. Lord, I'm the only one who loves you. I'm the only one. Anybody ever felt like that? I'm the only one paying the price. God says, I know what God wants to say. Shut up, fool. I have got this many who have never kissed Baal, and they're just waiting for a leader. By the way, Elijah would not become that leader. Elijah would be taken. But God would raise up Elisha to take his place. And Elisha became the leader of the prophets. So many of those had never bowed to Baal. And if you understand anything about Baal, folks, Baal was just basically a phallic symbol. All that it was. Now, we're almost done here. Genesis chapter 7. Good verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them, entered the ark. On the very same day, they entered the ark, that they were removed from the wrath of God. The wrath hit. The door shut. That was it. Okay? As I told you beforehand, God sends preachers ahead of it. Noah was the preacher. He was a preacher of righteousness. For 120 years, he preached. Repent, 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 repent. Now, I heard somebody say the other day that not one person repented. I think three did. Shem, Ham, and Japheth weren't born when Noah started preaching. He started having them after. The Bible says Noah was a perfect man in the sight of the Lord. And I was listening to Jimmy Evans about this little issue here. And he explained what that meant, perfect. It wasn't mature. It was his bloodline was perfect. His bloodline was not contaminated with that of the angels. The downside was, while Noah's bloodline was clear, and in today, we now know you can get genes from mama and papa, right? Like I said, I pointed out last week or so, the short legs came from my grandmother's side. The three wives carried, one of the three carried the gene for the Nephilim. Because the Bible says earlier there, said in those days there were giants in the land and also afterwards. Okay, it came through one of the three wives. That's how you have the Philistines, the giants. You have Goliath and his brothers. They were descendants of one of those three women who carried the gene. But God sent the preacher to preach, to repent, to turn back. You need to understand, God built that ark big enough for people to stay, to be on it. The Bible says he's not willing that any would perish. He always sends a preacher to preach. I want free will. You've got free will. Please repent. For the love of God, please repent. The reason people don't repent is because they're arrogant. They're so full of themselves. Well, I'm a good person. Being a good person ain't got nothing to do with it. Gandhi still went to hell. He rejected Jesus Christ. So many people have gone to hell. They were good people. There's going to be people we're going to see in heaven and say, how on earth did you get here? Grace of God. They repented somewhere. If I get called into somebody who's not saved to a hospital, I want you to repent. I'm not going to pray for healing. First things first. Let's deal with the eternal side. I've got some uncles who repented on their deathbeds. They lived awful lives. God will send the preacher. You might be the preacher, folks. Listen, this is all New Testament. And actually, this is not even New Testament. This has been the last however many years. You are called to preach. First place you start at, and even Jesus said this, you will start in Jerusalem, then go to Judea, and then to all the other parts of the world. In other words, you start at home. Isn't that what Lot did? He went to all of his family members. They said no. And he was still back there, I think, trying to convince them. But the angel said, there's an appointed time, and we got to get your butt out of here real quick. So they drug them out of town. Now, you've got that. When it comes to what we are in control of, folks, your children. When I say preach, again, I don't mean condemn. I mean you be the example of God's love. You be every example of God's love. It's hard. We're not going to agree with everything. I know my parents didn't agree with everything I did. I don't agree with everything I did now. But I did them. We have to love. When we tell them that's not the way, it has to be in all love. Not rude, not obnoxious, but caring. They need to know that you really care about them. Because see, here's a problem that we've got with the church. And I don't think I've ever really heard Billy Graham do this in his things. They take up offerings and stuff. But so many people, the one thing they want is they want to make sure they get an offering. The offering is not our main focus here. It's not a big part of this. I mean, in my life, it's as important part of anything. It represents my very essence, my blood, my sweat, my tears. Okay? But that's not why we have service. It's not why we preach the gospel. I think there's going to be preachers who are going to be standing. And the Bible says that they're going to be saying, Lord, look at the revivals we held. Look what we did. He said, depart. You never knew me. In other words, you never got to know me. You went out. Yeah, you taught a lesson. You did this. You led people to me. They got it. But you didn't. Because people get turned off on the wrong things. As St. Francis of Assisi, I think it's how I always called it, a sissy, said, preach always, and if necessary, use words. Even that far back, people realized words can be cheap, but actions, they mean everything. Many of you probably were. I mean, we were having a talk with Vicky the other day, and we were talking about Southern mentality. Some of you women can probably relate with this, about how, you know, a woman came to her mom and dad and had a black eye. They said, what'd you do to deserve that? Personally, you know, I'm not of that generation, not of that mindset. You know, my daughter, well, I don't have it, but if my daughter-in-law's ever end up with a black eye, my sons are going to end up with a black eye and a size 8. And they will tell you, I will do it. They may be able to take me, but doggone it, they're going to be missing a finger or an ear or the end of their nose. As long as I still got my teeth, I can fight. But if I had a daughter and she ever showed up with a black eye, there's going to be a young man laying on the ground looking like he got trampled by horses. You better get that in there. Yeah, you got two son-in-laws sitting at the end of the... Yeah. Yeah, there's another father of daughters. But that was a mentality. You did something to deserve that. I don't think so. As a matter of fact, even the sermon that I do when I do the service... says, there's nowhere in the Bible it says you can do that. I don't care what the custom was or is. Sometimes we need to break customs. And I'm all for that. If it doesn't serve a purpose, it's no longer helping us to remember why we do it. Why do it? And we get religious. I'm going to tell you right now, we get religious on everything. We got to have it. There's 7 belt loops on a Marine uniform. You know why? Because somebody, first off, originally figured out that they could be placed evenly if there are 7. But that's not what I was taught. There's 7 belt loops because there's 7 C's. And they wanted to make sure that I hit every one of them so that my uniform looked right. That's all it was. So many stupid little things we do. Oh, this is so holy. Listen. Don't get bent out of shape. You having a beard doesn't make you holy. Me shaving doesn't make me holy. Tattoos don't make us non-holy or holy. Earrings don't make us holy or non-holy. Makeup don't make you holy or non-holy. Jesus Christ. I'm not stepping on that. I am not stepping in what you just laid down. But understand this, folks. We have nothing to fear. We're going to see things happen. And if we trust God, He says, you will eat of the good of the land if you'll do what I say to do. So don't get bent out of shape when you see or you hear this, or this happens or that happens. just know this. God knew it was going to happen. And judgment does come down. And yet in the same sense, judgment can be God's mercy. Just look. But you don't have to fear anything. Because if you're walking in fear, you're not walking in love. All right, let's stand. Now remember, we have our little, not little, we're having our chili super Sunday. We didn't have our breakfast. This goes towards missions, pretty much, I think, just local missions and stuff that we've got set up, working with people. And people want to know, you know, Pastor, why don't we go out and do this? First off, you want to help the unwed mothers and people who are struggling? Heartbeat. Go to Heartbeat. I don't have to start the ministry. It's right over there on Baker Street. If you're old enough, you know where Doc Hickson's old office was. That shows you how old I am. Go over there. Volunteer. You can talk. We have several people who work with them. We raise money for it. We support that ministry. That's why I cannot ever justify killing a baby. I'm sorry. You got pregnant out. There's lots of people in America who want to adopt, who can't have their own child, and you are fertile and you kill it. Because, well, it's not a good time for me right now. Yeah, that's what it boils down to. It's never, the number of babies that are aborted because they say that there was a rape that took place, that percentage is so, so low. Because those women, most of them realize that baby is not the fault. But then our laws let a rapist go. I got some opinions on that. You ought to be glad that my dad's not in charge. He says a few things that makes Joshua sitting there with a smirk. He's like, yeah. Every one of us wince when he speaks like that. It's like, oh, yeah, that sounds painful. You start dealing with rapists properly, I bet you see the number drop down. Start dealing with murderers properly. Start seeing the numbers drop down. There's a day in life when you were convicted of murder. They took you from the jailhouse, from the courtroom, took you out and hung you on a tree. Yeah, exactly. So don't worry about all this garbage that's going on. Make sure that you are following God's leading in everything. Don't go with the crowd. Listen, I didn't not vote for Obama because he's black. I didn't vote for him because I felt he's evil. And if you're paying attention, yeah, it got proved out. But I knew people, Christians, friends of mine who voted just because he was a black man. I don't vote for a white man just because he's white. I got black men in my life, friends of mine, who I trust with my very life. And there's a lot of white guys I wouldn't trust them with my dog's life. And he could run from them. Yeah, he would. Oh, he's getting brazen. He cocked his leg in the boys' room the other day. We're like, what? You woke up on the side of stupid this morning, didn't you? She walked over to the thing. They got him before he went too crazy, but yeah. Anyhow, I'm digressing. I'm going to bless the fellowship. And don't forget, we also have War on the Floor. I will not be leading it. We have calling hours to go to down in southern Ohio, and it's about a 2.5 hour drive, so we got a lot of driving, but it's for Dr. Ruth Cover, who was a chiropractor here. She's the mother of Angela's real good friends from school, so, and we're still friends with them, so we're going to go see them. But I believe Phil will be covering for him. Mighty man of God, he knows how to pray. So if you have prayer requests, give them to him. And just know that God will answer them. It may not always be on a time frame we think. We want, I want it right now. I want it now. I want it now. Man, if God had sold our house 10 years ago when we tried to sell it, we wouldn't have the house we have now. And somebody's going to have to walk up with $250,000 and up check to get me out of it. So, I mean, that's how much I love it. Because I know nobody's moving in next door. Because there is no next door. Nope. They owe too much on the field. They can't sell it all for that. But anyhow, trust God in all things. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for a glorious day. Lord, first off, we bless the farmers right now who are out taking off their crops, trying to get their harvest in before the weather sets in. Lord, I thank you that you're going before them. You are setting aside everything that may come to hinder them in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you right now, first off, particularly the farmers in here, in this. I bless their crops, Lord God. May their yields be greater than they've ever seen before in Jesus' name. And now, Father, we also thank you and praise you that you will not let harm come to us. If we stand for what's right, you said you will take care of us in spite of what the world may want. Lord, I thank you that you've not ordained us to wrath. Father, we will not see the wrath as long as we do what you say. So, Father, I thank you and praise you. And, Lord, anybody in here who's sitting on the fence, Lord, right now, move in their heart that they say, I'm taking a stand. I'm no longer on the fence. I'm going to stand with Christ. Lord, I pray for courage. I pray for strength in their lives in Jesus' name. And, Father, I thank you for the fellowship and for the money that will be raised this today for our charity, Lord God. I bless it. I thank you for the food that we're about to eat and for this time of fellowship as well. And Lord, I thank you and praise you for all that you're doing in your children's lives, Father God, that you're moving things out of their way. You're opening doors of opportunity in Jesus' name. Amen.